Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. The group in charge of the Palm Beach County Chads currently counting Hall of Fame ballots. Larry Michael in a few moments, Neil Coulong on the Steelers. First of all, our play-by-play call of the day, Chuck Cooperstein with the call. Sacramento Kings, Dallas Mavericks, double overtime.
Looking, still looking to Williams in the corner. Shot fake, got it away. He hit it! He hit it! And the Mavericks win the game!
An all Big Ten hookup there. Devin Harris of Wisconsin hitting Darren Williams of Illinois. And it was a win last night for the Mavericks. All Big Ten. Devin Harris, Big Ten Player of the Year out of Wisconsin. Darren Williams, he wasn't the Big Ten Player of the Year, but you know, D. Brown in that team? Eh, I thought Darren Williams was better. But D. Brown was really good too. Lightning quick guard. The Redskins are in the playoffs, and they get the last playoff game of the weekend. They get the Green Bay Packers in what I think is a favorable matchup for them. The outstanding play-by-play voice of the Redskins, Larry Michael, joins us. Larry, great to have you back on the show.
Hey, Steve. How you been?
Doing really well. Great to hear from you. What a run. I know I was in the city. Well, I guess close. I was out down in College Park last week, and then I was at GW about 3 weeks ago. The place is alive. Is that safe to say as to how people feel about this team right now?
Yeah, everybody is very fired up, and obviously a big football town that it is, Redskins town. And I think one of the reasons everybody is so fired up is they've seen a progression here that has seemed really impressive. Each week, the quarterback's gotten better. The team's obviously improved down the stretch, and they made some great pickups along the way. Just when you thought the injury bug would catch up to them, you got some guys that have come out of nowhere, off the street literally, who have come in and helped. And the coaching staff, I think, is really mature. There's a lot you can point to for the reason for the success, but there's no doubt about it. The buzz is really building. It's almost building every day, each day here in D.C., and it's going to obviously reach a peak on Sunday.
And no question about that. We just went through the holiday season. The movie It's a Wonderful Life came out, and there's a scene in the movie where the father looks at George Bailey and says, George, you were just born older. I got a feeling that when I look at Kirk Cousins, he was born older.
Well, you know, it's funny, Steve, because nowadays, if you come in the NFL as a quarterback, and you're, you know, if you're a first, second round pick, maybe even a third round pick, you might be thrown into the deep end very quickly, and that's just the way it is in the NFL these days. If they're gonna spend a top pick with you, a high pick with you, you're gonna go in right away. Kirk was not drafted near the top; he was drafted in the fourth round, and he sat and watched. He's been watching. He has had a lot of reps, obviously, because of the injuries to RG3, but he has not been in charge of this football team until he got declared that in the preseason this year. And so this is the first year he's really played a whole season. He took every snap except at the end when they rested him in the second half against the Cowboys and Colt McCoy came in. And you've just seen a mature guy, mature beyond his years. So that's a good observation. You know, I think the reason's been he's been able to sit back and watch and learn without getting beat up too bad.
When did you start to get the sense, Larry, that Kirk Cousins had started to get a feel for the speed of the game and Jay Gruden started getting a feel for Kirk Cousins' speed for the game?
Well, I think coming out of the New England game, the Redskins had a bye the week after the New England game, and that was not a good trip. You know, it had been up and down prior to that, and there were some signs that would, you know, point you to the team being a pretty improved team. The win over Philadelphia was a come-from-behind win. And then the win over Tampa obviously was a big comfort, 24-0, the biggest comeback in team history. But after that New England game, They knew they had a stretch of 3 of 4 at home. And it began in the Saints game. I thought that he really looked like he was in command. And things blossomed from there. And it's no coincidence that that really took place as DeSean Jackson eased his way back into the lineup after pulling his hamstring week one. That was a big addition. And he's a dynamic weapon that they really were missing. Not that they, you know, couldn't win without him, but he's kind of put them over the top. So, to me, that New Orleans game was the hump game for Kirk.
I know one of the keys when they got into the playoffs against Seattle a couple of years ago was that they had really started to build a ground game. How much did that end up helping Kirk in this particular year?
Well, you know, they came into the season wanting to be known as a running team. And the first two games of the year, they ran the ball. Each of the running backs, Matt Jones, Alfred Morris, ran for over 100 yards. But it kind of been tough sledding for the running game. There was a stretch there where they were averaging less than 3 yards a carry. And I think a switch went off, and the play caller said that, you know what, we better open this thing up a little bit. We're not going to be able to do what we wanted to do. We're not going to be able to run the ball at will and, you know, pick up big chunks on first down. And so they kind of changed their attitude a little bit, I think, or a little bit of their direction. They still want to run the football. And last game, Alfred Morris did have 100 yards. But it's become more of an offense, I think, that Jay Gruden is comfortable with. Yeah, he wants to run the ball, and that's conventional wisdom, as you know, got to run the ball. But they found they could pass the ball on first down and set that run up a little bit. So that's put Kirk in the position to have more opportunities. And with the playmakers he's got around him, you know, Jordan Reed has blossomed. Garcon has always been a pretty good wide receiver. The rookie Crowder has been better than expected. So for Kirk Cousins, it was a perfect storm. The running game wasn't clicking. They had to go to the pass. And he discovered these weapons are pretty darn good.
I want to ask you about Jordan Reed, because the last time I saw him in person, he was playing quarterback against Penn State in the Outback Bowl. What kind of mismatches has he been able to create, and how much more precise has he become in his routes for Washington?
Well, you know, Jordan Reed, you know, has had a history here of, you know, not being able to stay healthy, and always thought he had all the ability in the world, but for him, staying on the field was the most important thing. And because he wasn't able to stay on the field, he never did find a great rhythm in his previous few years here. And so he was able to stay healthy, and again, perfect storm for him. Golly, you're looking at a quarterback who has been on fire. He's been in a zone, and to have a unique weapon like Jordan Reed, he can split outside the numbers. He's improved his blocking, but his strength is as a pass receiver, you know, up the middle and downfield. And after catch, he does a great job. And he's learned to bulldoze some guys when he has to. He's got great footwork, going back to, you know, being a basketball player and also a quarterback, a certainly different type of footwork than you would be as a tight end. And so he brings a unique skill set to the position that you don't see very often. There's not a lot of guys you can compare him to. Not the biggest guy, not the strongest guy, very athletic, and he's got great footwork off the line. If you take a look at any of the tape, he loses the defender off his second step every time. He just got a quick double step. He's got a great crossover move, I understand, on the basketball court, and the coach likes to talk about that, and that's kind of like what goes on the football field. He's like a little crossover move, and all of a sudden he's got an edge on the defender, and he's definitely got good chemistry with Cousins. So that's a matchup you got to watch, especially around the goal line in the red zone. He's really been money this year.
+5 giveaway takeaway, and you're about a little bit more than 3 minutes plus per game on time of possession. What is the ball control along with the plus minus meant to the success on this team?
Well, I mean, it hasn't allowed the defense to be on the field lengthy periods of time. And the defense, you know, I haven't talked much about that, but there was a stretch during the course of this year where they just couldn't get off the field. They couldn't stop the running game. People were gashing them week after week, averaging 5 yards a carry. And that was kind of a low point of the season for the defense. But the offense has had some long drives. I'm doing my preparation here for the broadcast, and I pulled out the one sheet from the press release that gives you the length of scoring drives for the season. And they've got a lot of double-digit scoring drives. I mean a lot. I've got to count them up here before the broadcast. And that, it stood out at me, and that gives it time of possession at edge, obviously. But it allows your defense, and, you know, again, Jay Gruden will tell you, it's easier to call plays when you're ahead, and it's easier to blitz when you're ahead. And Joe Barry has mixed up that blitz a lot this year and has had to It's been effective, but he hasn't lived by the blitz, if you know what I mean. He's spotted it in there when he needed it, and it's been successful. So you look at this, and you know, again, the Redskin fans are excited because they recognize this is a total team. There's not really not a big superstar. I guess, you know, DeSean Jackson, Jordan Reed having good years, but there's no one guy. It's a total team effort, and that, you know, that gives people a good feeling inside. At least the team's going in the right direction.
Right, exactly. You mentioned defense. Yeah, you and I both know the defensive numbers are in the bottom third of the league, except for the scoring number, which isn't. But the others are in the bottom third of the league. Did it actually get better the final month of the season based on what you saw the first 2 months?
Well, it's funny. I mean, again, you look at the numbers. If you look at the numbers, it didn't. But if you look on the field, it did. And the Redskins were number one in the league in forced turnover, forced fumbles, number one in the league in recovered fumbles. And so it became a team that last year couldn't create a turnover to a team that was ball hawking all of a sudden. And again, the defense has made some big plays this year. And they've made some tremendous goal line stands. And again, you're going to drive from the 20 to 1 yard line. That's going to show in the stat sheet like a long drive, but on a fourth and one, you hold them out. They've had about four or five goal line stands this year, which has been a confidence building factor for the defense as well, because they don't just cave inside the red zone. They think they're going to get a turnover, or at least hold the opposition to three. So in this case, you know, the numbers are a little deceiving. They've given up a lot of yardage. But I think the defense is a playoff-caliber defense.
Speaking of deceiving numbers, Aaron Rodgers' numbers look great. Touchdowns to interceptions, completion percentage. But you and I both know that with the offensive line problems and no Jordy Nelson, they really haven't been moving the ball. How favorable a matchup can this be for Washington in this game based on how the Packers played the last month and a half?
Well, I mean, I think that if you looked at the three of the possible opponents, a lot of people think this was the easiest. But, you know, again, the Redskins last week beat Kellen Moore at quarterback for the Cowboys. This is Aaron Rodgers that's coming to town. So there's a big difference between Kellen Moore and Aaron Rodgers. And there's a big difference between a Green Bay Packer team that's made the playoffs seven straight years, equal to the Patriots seven straight years. And so, yeah, their offensive line's a little banged up. They haven't had Jordy Nelson all year. They've had kind of a running back by committee with the two guys, Lacy and Starks. But you still got the trigger man, Aaron Rodgers, who he really controls the game. The game's in his hands. If the Redskins can't get pressure on him, they can't get the sacks they've been accustomed to over the last month of the season, if they can't get the turnovers they've been getting the last month of the season, it could be a long afternoon. It could be a long afternoon with Rodgers. Conversely, I never thought I'd say this, but the Redskins are capable of winning a shootout with the offense they've got right now. So, you know, I probably predict a high-scoring game here. I know in the playoffs, the pressure mounts and mistakes make the difference. And you know, but I think this, at least for the Redskins side of things, I think their role will continue because they're coming home. And they've really built a good home field advantage this year. And that can be a lot of people going crazy in that stadium. And the Packers travel some folks, I know that. But and the Redskins fans occasionally have been known to sell off their tickets. But this case, place is going crazy. Yeah. And tickets are going to be tough to get.
Yeah. The Boise State fans, by the way, disagree with you on Kellen Moore.
Right? So Kellen Moore is a nice quarterback.
Nobody's better than he is. Yeah.
You know what's ironic? Steve, we were at the Senior Bowl the year that Kirk Cousins came out. RG3 came out that year, and we were at a reception one night. And at this reception was Russell Wilson, Kirk Cousins, Nick Foles, Ryan Lindley, and Kellen Moore. All these quarterbacks were there. Russell Wilson comes up to me and says, "Hey, would you introduce me to Mike Shanahan?" I said, "Sure, come on over." Of course, RG3 and Luck weren't there, but all these guys, you know, you see them as college guys, and right. Kirk Cousins carried himself with a lot of authority back then. His character hasn't changed much. He's a preacher's son. He's proud to tell you, and he's a straight kid. But boy, he's on top of the world now.
He sure is. Hey, thanks so much for the time, Larry.
All right, pal.
Appreciate it. Associate basketball coach Keith Urgo gets on the basketball bus for Penn State and sings all the verses to Hail to the Redskins. I'm not kidding
especially
for the last month.
Yeah,
he's a D.C. guy, and he loves the Redskins. So, believe me, I watch enough of the Redskins, but I think he fed me half the questions.
Well, you know what? I know what those bus rides are like, so it's good you got some good quality entertainment.
That's exactly right. Larry, hey, thanks. Hey, good luck on Sunday. I hope the Skins do well.
Thanks, Dean. Talk to you soon.
Larry Michael, the play-by-play voice of the Washington Redskins. Neil Coulong, next half hour to talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers and the fact that they're now over in the north end of the city on Forbes Avenue right now trying out running backs. No? You don't think so?
No. Well, it might not be a bad idea, but I don't think they are.
Oh, but you guys told me last year they're fine with Josh Harris. You're very emphatic about that.
I might have been off by a few hundred yards.
You might have been off as right on News Radio 1070 WKOK. How nervous will you be on Saturday night? Will you be pacing?
You know, I said this going into last Sunday's game. I said, I just want to get to the playoffs, and then I'd be happy.
No, that's not what you said. You told me that if they backed in, you wouldn't watch because they backed in. And
no,
I explained
I
you
didn't say exactly
and
that.
I explained to you, why don't you go back and listen to the tapes? And I said on Friday's show that it's a 17-week season with 16 games. You get in on the full body of work because it's not just the last week of the season winning and losing. Week six counts, too. And I explained that to you, that it's a full body work. Nobody backs into the playoffs. When it's over with, you have the best record either through pure record or the tiebreakers that go with it. I tried to explain that. You said you wouldn't watch the game because they backed in.
No, I said I wouldn't. I don't want to back in, and they didn't deserve to be in. But if they just got in, that's all I'd be happy about.
That's not what you said. You said if they backed in, you're so disgusted you would not watch the game.
Now, that being said, I now knowing that we're playing the Bengals.
We?
Yeah, we. I'm part of this team. I paid for some of those salaries. It's a we. We've had this discussion before.
What salary have you paid for? You have any paid Norwich salary?
Right.
You haven't even paid Wig's salary for
every time.
Who's Wig, by the way?
I don't know.
He's your trainer.
Okay, great. Then make sure the running back's ready to play on Sunday. Saturday,
believe
rather.
Believe me, he's one of the best in the business. You're lucky you have him. Old friend, I've known him a lot longer than I've known you.
Well, that's not saying much. All right, here's the thing. Until I found out we were playing the Bengals.
You don't even know who the trainer is.
Well, I can't say that I hang out with the trainer very often, and they don't show him on TV that much either.
Sure they do.
Now, when I found out they were playing the Bengals, then I changed my mind on the fact that I was just happy to be there. I'll be happy if they get through. I will be happy beating the Bengals. That will. After that, everything else is a bonus then.
This is so entertaining.
Everything else after that's a bonus. I dislike the Bengals that much that I'm willing to, you know, take one on the chin, knowing I was going to get harassed by you, and say that I just want to beat the Bengals now. I take back the fact that I'm happy to be in the playoffs.
Your quarterback can't even beat Tim Tebow.
No. The safety can't cover the receiver, all right? And that's long gone. That's gone now. Not coming back.
AFC Championship game. 5 years ago. Last time your guy won a game at quarterback in the playoffs.
Well, that's a good one to win.
It's 5 years ago.
It's okay. It's all right. He's due.
That's before the show ever began. The Steelers have not won a playoff game since this show began. We're heading into our fifth year.
Well, they've only been there, what, two times? They missed it. Three. Was it two out of the last five or three out of the last five?
Two of the last five.
Yeah, so there you go. That's not even a fair stat.
5 years is not a small sample size.
You know what? You always say to me that I'm a what have you done for me lately guy. Well, there you are.
Well, what have they done for you lately? Nothing.
I never thought. Listen, do you know how hard it was for me to root for a Rex Ryan team on Sunday?
I don't care about these things.
That was painful. So
painful.
I had to actually root for a Rex Ryan team.
You live in a universe I don't.
You don't live in that universe. No.
No.
No, you don't. But I'm glad. I'm here for your entertainment.
And I got to admit, right now you're entertaining me incredibly.
Text I got from you after the game was, best thing to happen for the show is the Steelers won.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
I've labeled the Steelers the most dangerous team in the AFC. I think they'll go to the Super Bowl. Kevin, who's a huge fan of the team and does not have the neutrality I have, will not jump on board with me.
I'm going to reserve judgment until...
What kind of fan are you?
No, I like what you're saying. I'm just...
Why don't you just admit you're afraid?
Have you watched the Steelers' defense? There's a reason.
Have you watched the other teams in the playoffs?
There's a reason that defense concerns me.
Well, it's like Kansas City has concerns with its offense and a very good defense. Houston has offensive concerns and a very good defense. The Steelers are in reverse.
You know what I understand is everybody's saying about Alex Smith, and I'm not confident with Alex Smith. He's actually played in the playoffs and won a few games.
Not that many, no. That's why Kaepernick replaced him. They needed to have somebody took him deeper into the playoffs.
But he did win a few.
A few as in how many?
Two or three. I don't remember exactly. I'm honestly just throwing darts on that one. I'm not sure. I know he has won playoff games. I just don't know how many.
I'm throwing darts on that one.
Well, I don't know the number, but I know he has won them. I remember watching at least one of them.
I'm just throwing darts.
I'm throwing darts at a number. I mean, I'm working with Stugall. I mean, you should be able to tell me right like that.
Oh, come on. We got to get to, the bozo of the day, all right?
All right.
All right, we'll get to that first. Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe, ultra-respected. His opinions do carry a lot of weight. But today, and he was talking about... on the Dan Le Batard show with Stu Gotts on ESPN Radio, he was asked if the Warriors, having gone from a good team to world beaters, was an indictment of Mark Jackson's coaching ability. Ryan did not dodge the question. And he said, quote, "I was on record 2 years ago that the most talented team 1-8 in the NBA is the Golden State Warriors. And as you know on this show... What did I say 2 years ago? Exactly the same thing. I said, look, that's the one team in the NBA I will watch. Remember that I said that in the show? The one NBA team I will watch because I think they're just a great watch and maybe the most talented team I've seen in terms of the initial group of the Golden State Warriors. He said they're doing okay, but I know they can do better if they had a real coach. Now, to this point, he's fine. I mean, If you don't respect the coaching job of Mark Jackson, I'm perfectly fine with that. It's this next part that gets you into the, like, okay, why did you say that? And that is, if they had a real coach, that's okay. Not some phony, Bible-pounding phony that Mark Jackson is.
Well, that's all across the line.
Yeah, that's where I've got the issue. Is just, I mean, not the fact you don't respect Mark Jackson as a coach. I'm with you. I'm completely there. I'm completely with you on that. If that's what you think, I have no issue with that. But to take it that far. That's over the line, and that's why I decided to go that route. Not out of disrespect for his tremendous basketball knowledge, which he has, not out of any disrespect for his opinion of Mark Jackson. Because, I mean, you know, I, in terms of being a coach, yeah, kind of felt the same way in a lot of ways. But the last part, too personal. How about that? The last part, too personal. Don't you think it's too personal?
Absolutely. I think you crossed the line.
All right. Yeah.
I dug up Alex Smith's playoff record. He is 1-2. However,
oh, so he has a... Okay, now, so in other words, usually to me, winning a few playoff games is three or better.
It would have to be at least two, yeah. However...
No, a couple is two.
All right, fine. Semantics. However, the loss to Indianapolis was not because of his performance. He threw four touchdown passes in that game, threw for almost 400 yards, and lost at 45-44. So I'm willing to give him a pass on that one. If you want to find a flaw in his playoff performance, you could say the Giants game in 2011 where it knocked him out of the playoffs when he was just 12 of 26. But he still threw two touchdown passes there.
If my recollection is correct, I don't think Alex Smith has ever thrown a playoff interception.
He has not thrown an interception in the playoffs. You are correct.
Okay. All right. Neil Coulon, USA Today, Steeler Wire. Neil, let's get to it. Kevin says that... the running game is in great shape, even without D'Angelo Williams. I feel like we're rewinding the tape to a year ago when Josh Harris stepped in.
I think that's the best way to describe it. It is basically the same thing as they had last year. You're going to have another situation in which some combination of running backs that we aren't entirely sure of as of right now are going to be running the football, probably in place of D'Angelo Williams. From what I understand of it now, he didn't speak with the media today. He didn't practice either. So if I were a betting man, I'd say he's going to be listed as questionable, and I think it's going to be a game-time decision whether he dresses. But considering how quickly it is after that injury, and that's not one that you can really expect a guy to be incredibly productive with, I would think they're going to sit him down. They're going to need the extra roster spot to keep, you know, something of a combination of running backs going. And I would think Fitzgerald Toussaint's going to be the guy that they'll lean on the most. But you're going to see Will Johnson probably get some work at tailback in this week in practice to see if there's anything he might be able to do. And they're going to have to activate Jordan Todman, the guy that kind of took the back seat to Toussaint down the stretch of the season. So it's however it is you want to mix it up, it's not a good running situation for the Steelers, and that's really what beat them last year against Baltimore. So you got to be concerned about that.
I in watching Toussaint over the years play against Penn State when he was at Michigan, I'll be honest, Neil, I thought he was a good, not great running back, and I was surprised that he stuck in the NFL.
Yeah, I'm not even sure if we can say he's really stuck to this point. I mean, he had a cup of coffee with the Ravens last year, got a carry or two, and 12 carries for 24 yards last week against Cleveland. It's not an ideal situation. I really don't think it's any kind of an improvement. As frustrating as it is, as up and down as it's been all year for the Steelers, the running back position, it's extremely frustrating to know that basically going out to sign D'Angelo Williams last year to back up Le'Veon Bell led to the same situation they were in, which was really the genesis behind why they would want to bring in a guy like Williams in the first place. It's no fault of Williams at all, certainly no fault of Le'Veon Bell, but very frustrating overall for an offense that, you know, is trying to find a way to get back on track here after a great, you know, kind of beginning part of the last third of the schedule fell off a little bit over the last two games, and to know that they're going to be once again very one-dimensional against a good defensive football team, it's got to be a major concern.
I felt D'Angelo Williams was the free agent signing of the year. I think what he's done, considering he was brought in to really be a guy for two games and then spot here and there, I thought he was phenomenal for them as the season went along. What does this mean for Ben Roethlisberger? What have you seen in Ben Roethlisberger the last two games? Because he has been, at least to me, watching on television, prone to bigger mistakes the last couple of games for whatever reason.
You know, watching him back, the word that keeps coming into my head is just erratic. You know, I can't get over that interception down the sideline and the quick pass over to Williams against Denver. And that was a situation in which the Steelers already got a lot from their defense. It's not an outstanding defensive team. I don't think anybody would make that argument. But it's one that can make plays, and they had to that point. It was enough to give an offense that was on fire down the stretch. It was enough to give them the victory. And Ben just gave them the ball right back, forced the defense to come back out on the field and win the game again. Just an unfathomable decision. The throw, it wasn't a smart throw to begin with, considering the down and distance, and he missed by a good foot. It just, those are troubling to me. And we've seen that from Roethlisberger down the stretch of the last couple seasons. Maybe not so much last year. I mean, I might give him a pass just because it's very hard to kind of reinvent your offense with Ben Tate running the ball for you instead of Le'Veon Bell in one game. But you look all the way back to 2011. Ben did not play a great playoff game against Denver. I remember writing at the time that this really was kind of a make or break thing for Ben. He was going to have to put the team on his shoulder and carry him. Incidentally, they lost another running back heading into the playoffs back then as well. he had to step up, and he didn't do it. And I'm not getting a good feeling from him right now, just in terms of what he's going to need to do. But some of that I think he addressed recently with criticism of Martavis Bryant, when he was saying really the second-year receiver needs to toughen up a bit and be out there for his team. You're seeing very sloppy play from him. Very uninspired play. I'm not exactly sure what his situation is, but they're going to need him, and they're really going to need the offense to step up at a much better level than they have the last couple games and their last couple playoff games.
Quantify for me Antonio Brown. This is not the big time. This is not the big outside receiver. What Dez Bryant type. He's in a category all of his own. What has made him a tough cover?
Simply put, I think it's because in today's NFL, by today's rules, I think he's impossible to cover. I think he is so incredibly fast in and out of his breaks. When you watch him, just see that the lack of speed when he changes directions. Or let me rephrase that. He isn't slowing down when he cuts. When he breaks, he doesn't slow down a step. He's still moving at full speed. It's remarkable to watch how accurate he is. Precise routes.
Neil, why does he get free release off the line of scrimmage? I'd have somebody on him, and I'd knock him out and flatten his you-know-what.
I think on one hand, you don't necessarily see a whole lot of teams doing that. On the other, he's lining up on the wide side of the field probably more often than not. In doing that, you typically don't want to get in his face just with the amount of space that there is available for the cornerback to cover. And also in doing that, you're basically going to be playing a pure man scheme everywhere else on the field. And the Steelers have a lot of weapons. It's really hard to control all of them. But we saw Seattle really sell out and try to get close to him, try to get aggressive with him. Cincinnati has done that as well to a certain degree of success. I think it really comes down to how much you'd say Brown doing is taking him out of the game. And that's very, very hard to do, as it has been the last 3 years.
And by the way, if somebody were to do that, the next thing the Steelers would counter with is they put him in motion. And by putting him in motion, exactly, you'd get free release, and then he'd be the full speed anyway within two steps.
And not coincidentally, he's in motion probably 6 out of 10 snaps.
Right.
I think that's by design.
Right, exactly. And by the way, if they do win, they'll see Denver, and Denver will play almost all man. Cincinnati, the matchup with Cincinnati, what are some of the pluses that the Steelers should be able to get in this matchup, since it's the third time through? And what are a couple of matchups where it just has not worked for the Steelers this year against them?
I think that the main matchup is going to be Brown against, whether it's Leon Hall, though most likely it's going to be Kirkpatrick for the bulk of that game.
Right.
But if they are to get Brown on Leon Hall by moving him around, adjusting a few things here and there, he can really do damage against him. Hall is a savvy player. He's a smart player that's still capable. He just doesn't have the athleticism to stick with a guy like Brown, or Bryant for that matter. They're going to take shots with Martavis Bryant down the field against inferior athletes within Cincinnati's secondary. It's not an overly athletic group, and the Steelers have a lot of speed within their receivers, and that really kind of comes down to a negative matchup, which is Pittsburgh's offensive line against Cincinnati. The Bengals are a good pass rushing team. They're a fundamental front seven. They play very well together. They fill gaps well. They're disciplined. And they're going to have some problems with them. It's a well-coached unit. It usually is. And last year, I think, was a little bit of a down year for them, and they responded, I think, with a 40-sack season under Marvin Lewis. And it, all of those things together, one kind of plays off the other. If the Steelers' offensive line can provide protection, you're going to see the passing game really start to explode. But it's a tough assignment for an offensive line that, you know, really I don't think has played particularly well their last couple games, the last three games probably. They might be wearing down a little bit down the stretch. So I think a lot of it's going to be decided up front in the trenches.
Yeah, I agree with that. What about the McCarron-Dalton factor? I mean, if Dalton were to play, let's just say he does, that's 27 days since this happened with no rehab. So what about the McCarron-Dalton factor? How do you view that right now?
I would be shocked if Andy Dalton was on the field.
Agreed.
One, for the reasons that you mentioned. I mean, that, you know, he already missed a day of practice. I'm assuming he's ruled out for the game already. But if he isn't, you're going to put a guy that just took a cast off his hand and expect him to be able to throw a football on a cold day, you know, with a broken throwing hand thumb. That's not going to happen. That's not going to work. There's no way. Just for the sake of the Steelers, I'm sure they'd love to see Dalton out there. Only second to that, though, is I think their you know, probability of enjoyment of seeing A.J. McCarron out there. He's led his teams to win in an efficient manner. You have to credit him for being a pretty smart player. I don't think the Steelers really confused him as much as they forced him into you know, some pretty bad situations the first time they played. They picked him off twice, but he moved the ball a little bit. All things considered, a team that didn't have, you know, any prep time with him going in there to be thrown in that early in the game, you can't feel too terribly for him. And I thought he's done an all right job in his three starts since then. He won two of those games. I don't think, outside of the possibility of, you know, the big play like we saw with a guy like A.J. Green on the field, I don't think you're going to get a whole lot from A.J. McCarron in this game. He's shown that he can put up a winning effort, but it's going to be more on their defense to win this.
I think the bottom line is this. I think they're looking at A.J. McCarron and saying, look, don't lose the game for us. I think that's that. And I think any backup quarterback that's young in this situation, I think that's what you look at them and you say, look, whatever you do, don't lose the game for us. We'll try and win it other ways, but don't you lose it.
I guess that's an interesting comparison to the veteran, is that's basically what Todd Haley told Mike Vick when he was playing back in earlier in the season. And you saw it in his play. Mike Vick literally took no chances down the field, completed like, what, 68% of his passes and gained like 12 yards through games or something like that. McCarron, a lot of it is really that. And I think he's done pretty well, all things considered. And the real frustrating thing for Cincinnati is that offense is so versatile. It goes so deep. They run so many different things at teams, and you just can't do that week in and week out with a quarterback who's just not prepared for it. That said, I mean, Hugh Jackson's system is very intricate. It's very complex. They've thrown a lot at him, and I think he's done pretty well.
Agreed.
All things considered. But we've seen Andy Dalton be much better prepared for playoff games with the Bengals recently, and done, you know, considerably worse than what McCarron's done. So maybe it's a benefit for him. I don't know, but I just don't see a quarterback with a skill set as limited as McCarron's, capable of coming in to really make an impact on the game. And yes, I said the exact same thing in January of 2012 before Tim Tebow beat the Steelers. So, you know, maybe I'm completely off base.
Oh, you just mention the magic name that makes every Steeler just grit their teeth. All right. Neil, always a pleasure. Great insight as always. Thanks for the time.
Definitely. Thanks for having me.
Neil Coulong, USA Today, Steeler Wire as well. We'll be back. Madden predicts the playoffs in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. Kevin knows how absurd I think it is every time he brings up Madden.
Which is why I didn't today, by the way.
And esports.
But
Madden predicts the playoffs. They predict as follows. What's the first game? The first game is what? Seattle and Minnesota? Seattle wins big.
Right.
The next game is... I don't have this in front of me. Well, I know who wins on the Madden thing.
Yeah.
The next game up is...
The next game they list is Packers.
It's Cincinnati and Pittsburgh.
Well, yeah.
It's Cincinnati and Pittsburgh. And they have Cincinnati winning.
Then overtime, by the way.
Does it make it better?
Bernard with a 41-yard run. No, it's not
Michigan
the run defense.
Michigan lost here in four overtimes. Does that make it better?
It's not the run defense I'm worried about.
Okay, and then the next day, it is,
Kansas City and Houston.
He's got Kansas City winning.
Right.
And then he's got, the Madden game has Green Bay beating Washington. The next round, he's got Denver beating Kansas City, New England beating Cincinnati, Green Bay winning at Arizona.
In overtime.
Does that make it better?
Just clarifying.
Seattle beating Carolina. Then Seattle beats the Packers. Denver beats the Patriots. Seattle beats the Broncos.
I think I've seen that game before.
You've seen most of these games before. These are mostly the same teams, man.
Although this one seems to be a little closer at 29-22.
It's a video game. Are you kidding me?
AIs are pretty intelligent, Steve.
You're the only guy I know is going to sit there and watch Pylon Cam Monday night.
Oh, that's going to be awesome. And Sky Cam.
All right. Guess what? I'll be watching the game. I'll know what the score is.